This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
In the news this month, mystery at the centre of Cassiopeia A, a new way to search for exoplanets, and spectacular outflows in Orion. When massive stars explode as supernovae, they leave behind a dense, compact object, either a neutron star or a black hole, depending on the mass of the original star. They also produce an expanding shell of debris, known as a supernova remnant. Many of these shells are known in the Milky Way, but compact objects are not detected in all of them. One object in particular, the remnant known as Cassiopeia A, has been expanding since its progenitor star exploded about 330 years ago, but for a long time, no compact object was detected, despite many searches. Then, in 1999, observations from the Chandra X-ray Observatory showed X-ray emission coming from the centre of the remnant. But the emission characteristics of the object did not match what astronomers expected to see from a neutron star or a black hole, so its nature remained uncertain. Now, two researchers think they know why. In a paper published in the journal Nature on November the 5th, the astrophysicists suggest that Cass A does contain a central compact neutron star, but that it may be surrounded by an unusual atmosphere of carbon. The Cass A remnant is located at a distance of 3.4 kiloparsecs from the Earth, and is one of the youngest known in the Milky Way. The explosion of the star which created the remnant may have been witnessed by the Astronomer Royal at the time, John Flamsteed, in 1680. Wyn Ho from the University of Southampton and Craig Heinke of the University of Alberta created models of the emission that would be expected from various different types of neutron star atmospheres, and compared their models to spectra of Cass A from archived Chandra observations of the central compact object. What their model showed was that if the neutron star has a normal hydrogen or helium atmosphere, the size of the emission region would be only 4 or 5 kilometres in diameter, much smaller than the size of this type of star predicted by standard models. This would suggest that the emission would be coming not from the entire surface, but from hotspots. However, such hotspots would be hard to produce, and difficult to maintain at a constant temperature. If the star had a carbon atmosphere, however, the predicted radius of the emission region is 12 to 15 kilometres, closely matching the predictions for the radius of a normal neutron star. So why is the compact object in Cass A so unusual? The authors suggest that this could be due to its young age. They think that the neutron star could accumulate an atmosphere of hydrogen and helium over time and develop a detectable spin, making it appear more like other, well-studied neutron stars. While this is a plausible model for the compact object in Cass A, further observations are still required in order to prove it is the correct explanation. Planet searching techniques are continuously being refined and are detecting ever smaller planets at greater and greater distances from their parent stars. But a team of astronomers have discovered a link between planetary systems and lithium abundance that could provide a new tool in the search for exoplanets. Most methods of searching for planetary systems around other stars are best suited to finding large planets orbiting very close to their host stars. But what if there was a way to determine the likelihood of a particular star hosting planets without actually detecting the planets at all? A team, led by Garrick Israelian of the Institut d'Astrophysica de Canarias in Tenerife, think they have found a link between whether stars host planets and how much lithium is observed. Lithium is one of the lightest chemical elements and is present in detectable quantities in most stars. The surface abundance of lithium on the Sun is 140 times less than what it was in the protostellar cloud from which the Sun formed. The surface of the Sun consists of a convective layer where material is constantly circulated in large convection cells, but the temperature at the base of this layer is not high enough to burn lithium, so where did it go? The team studied spectra of 451 stars, some of which host planets, while some do not. All the stars in the sample were similar to the Sun, with surface temperatures between 4,900 and 6,500 degrees Kelvin. When they compared the lithium abundances, they found that for stars with surface temperatures in the range 5,600 to 5,900 Kelvin, the majority of stars known to host planets were severely depleted in lithium, whereas the non-planet-hosting stars showed a much lower level of depletion. This indicates a possible link between lithium depletion and planet formation, which could be used to pre-screen stars for planet searches. However, the link is only seen for stars in a particular temperature range. Above 5,900 Kelvin, the convective layer is too shallow to reach a depth where the temperature is high enough to burn helium, while below 5,700 Kelvin, the convective layers penetrate deeper, and all stars show significant lithium depletion. Within this range, the amount of lithium depletion seen in the star-hosting planets is independent of both the star's surface temperature, metallicity, and age, indicating that the presence of a planetary system is related. While there is currently no model that explains this apparent link, the authors suggest a few ideas. The existence of a planetary system may result in a variation of the rotation of the star, increasing the mixing of material within layers. Planetary migration may also alter the stellar rotation, resulting in a similar effect. Another suggestion is that an interaction of the protostar with the surrounding accretion disk may lead to a large variation in rotation speeds of different layers within the star, with the outer layers slowed down by the disk compared to the core, again resulting in a greater mixing of material and more lithium being dragged down to layers where the temperature is high enough to destroy it. While more observations and detailed modelling is required to determine the physical process causing lithium depletion in planetary systems, these results suggest that an understanding of the Sun's lack of lithium may be best understood by looking at other planetary systems. The constellation of Orion contains some massive complex regions of star formation, the most obvious of which is the Great Orion Nebula, M42, located in Orion's Sword. Through an optical telescope you can see a large glowing cloud of gas, illuminated by a cluster of young hot stars. But behind this cloud, hidden from view, lies another cluster of protostars, clumps of gas still collapsing under gravity in the process of forming stars. As ordinary light cannot penetrate through the gas, other parts of the electromagnetic spectrum are needed to see these protostars. Radio waves can penetrate through the thick gas and dust and can provide images of these stars in the process of formation. Using the Very Long Baseline Array, a collection of 10 radio telescopes located across the USA, a team of astronomers has peered into this hidden region and imaged it at high resolution. The team, led by Lynn Matthews at MIT's Haystack Observatory, used the VLBA to study an object known as Source I over 2 years. This source lies behind the Orion Nebula at a distance of just 414 parsecs, making it the closest known example of the class known as young stellar objects. The astronomers used the VLBA to make regular monthly images over 2 years, studying the motion of sources known as masers, naturally occurring objects which act like lasers but at radio wavelengths. The images showed thousands of silicon monoxide masers in outflows from the protostar known as Source I, and by stitching together all of the images taken over 2 years, the team produced a movie showing the outflows of molecular material between 20 and 100 astronomical units from the young star in unprecedented detail. It is already known how these massive stars die. They explode catastrophically as supernovae, but how they form is more of a mystery since the formation process takes place inside a thick cloud of gas. These observations show signs of a rotating accretion disk around the protostar, drawing surrounding material in a spiral motion towards the centre, where the new star is still growing. They also show material flowing out from the centre, perpendicular to the disk, in two large cones, one above and one below the disk. Outflows like these help the star formation process by carrying angular momentum away from the system. If a protostar spun too quickly, it might start losing material and ultimately rip itself apart. The movie also shows the outflows starting to curve as they leave the accretion disk, suggesting that magnetic fields may be influencing the motion of the material near to the star. The paper describing this work has been accepted for publication in the Astrophysical Journal in January 2010. And finally, in a press briefing on November the 14th, members of the LCROSS team presented the latest results from the impact of the spacecraft on the Moon back on October the 9th. The Lunar Crater Observation and Sensing Satellite was one of two man-made objects to impact the Moon that day. The ejector cloud produced by the empty Centaur upper stage of the rocket created a plume of material which was imaged by an infrared camera on board the LCROSS probe, which was following 4 minutes behind. The roughly 10-kilometer-sized cloud filled the field of view of some of the sensors on board LCROSS, resulting in good measurements of the composition of the lunar regolith. One infrared image, taken by LCROSS from a height of just 10 kilometers, shows the floor of the Cabeus crater for the first time, including a fresh crater from the impact of the Centaur upper stage. The initial results from the spectra obtained by LCROSS show deep absorption features due to water, implying that there was roughly 100 kilograms of water in the field of view of the instrument, approximately equivalent to a dozen or so 2-gallon buckets. As well as water, the spectra also show absorption due to several other compounds, the identities of which are yet to be confirmed.